This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, looks, fires over the middle, caught, left, touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Fitzgerald late, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown week number 15. My name is Brian Lowe. Here on Patriots.com, we come your way every week talking fantasy football. We're in the home stretch here of the season, and at this point, if you're alive, you're probably in the playoffs. Otherwise, you might be on the outside looking in. Personally, well, I didn't have a great year. Did not have a great year as far as fantasy football goes. Four leagues only in the playoffs, and one of them, and even that was a struggle. So maybe I'm not the person you really want to get advice from. But, you know, so far, based on the feedback, based on the emails, people seem to have a little bit of success when they go by the advice they get here on the Fantasy Lowdown. So we're taking your questions. We're talking about the hot topics that pertain to this week. And certainly starts out tonight, San Fran, San Diego. An interesting matchup. Two teams very much in NFL playoff contention. San Fran, of course, in the mix in that putrid division, the NFC West. Meanwhile, San Diego coming off a shutout of the Matt Castle-less Kansas City Chiefs.
Go f*** yourself,
San Diego. San Diego has a chance here to, they've got a chance to make some hay and catch up to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, on a side note, I kind of thought last week, based on NFL action around the league last week, that Tom Brady locked up the number one MVP spot, and Matt Castle may have locked up number two in absentia in a 31-0 loss to San Diego, where the Chiefs had less than 100 yards of total offense, I believe it was, in that game, and goes to show you how much they rely on Matt Castle. And it does look like Castle has a pretty good chance to go this week. He was limited in practice, but he was there. So much more in question. You know, last week I think we found out, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday of last week, that they ruled out Matt Castle, which you could see coming, and that was a big hit to your fantasy team. Now it looks like it's more of a questionable after his appendectomy last week, but the fact remains that if you have Matt Castle as your starting quarterback and he's helped you get to this point, what do you do going into this week? And that ties us right into really the main topic this week, in my opinion, and certainly pertains to what's going on here in Foxborough this weekend, is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, one of the top five, seven quarterbacks in the league as far as fantasy. If he's your quarterback, and he is the quarterback on the one team I have that did make the playoffs, he's been a huge performer. And the question is, you know, it's looking highly unlikely that he's going to play. The Packers have said that he won't practice at all this week. Maybe would go through the walkthrough on Friday. They wouldn't make a call until Saturday. Now, in my opinion, I think there's a 50-50 chance that he doesn't even travel. If he doesn't travel, we'll know that on Saturday because teams will downgrade a player if they're the road team and the player doesn't travel. The question is, let's say he travels. Let's say they haven't declared him any one way or the other. If they list him as doubtful, that probably means he's not going to play. But if he's questionable, you got a problem there. Now, you've got to figure Matt Flynn is not much of an option. So if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, you're probably scurrying the waiver wire. You probably already have. You want to set yourself up with as good a QB as you could have. You're not going to be making a trade, most likely. Trades can't really happen now. Teams are out of the playoffs, or you may have already had a trading deadline that passed. If you're in a league with two quarterbacks and he's one of your two, you're looking at the bottom basement guys. Now, if you're in a one-quarterback league, at this point, you figure, let's say you're in a 12-team league, you start one quarterback, and let's say, I'd say probably two-thirds of the teams have a quarterback on their bench. You're looking at around 18 to 20 quarterbacks on teams' rosters, which still leaves you about a dozen quarterbacks available. Now, when you're talking about the lower quarter of the league, lower third of the league as far as quarterbacks, generally these are not guys you want to have starting on your team.
But scary guys.
But there are some possible options that we can help you out with that if you're trying to sort through some guys, you might want to keep in mind. The guy that I in this league that I'm in the playoffs, and Kevin, you're in this league as well.
Yep, not in the playoffs.
David Garrard.
Yep.
I signed David Garrard a couple of weeks ago. I believe I had Kevin Cobb on that team for a while.
Okay.
And then I just basically go by the theory that you might as well keep a spot. You might as well have a backup quarterback on your team because of a situation like this.
Exactly.
And I'm happy I did so because when I look at the quarterbacks available now, you are kind of dealing with the, you know, the Joe Webbs, the Colt McCoys and stuff like that.
I was going to bring his name up because
Colt McCoy.
I actually picked him up for a week as an emergency situation this year, below in a league like we mentioned with two quarterbacks. And, you know, in the league that I was in, it was two quarterbacks with a limit. You could have up to four. So there were people just hoarding quarterbacks, so it really was the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And he actually performed pretty admirably for a week or two when I plugged him in.
Yeah, Colt McCoy opened some eyes really around the time when he started was that lethal stretch of games, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and New England, and he performed pretty admirably. He did pretty well. So not too bad. You know, Colt McCoy has been announced today as the Cleveland starter through the rest of the season. Now, he's a rookie. He's missed a couple of games here. It's not like he was a prolific passer. But he put together some decent numbers, limited the interceptions, had some running ability, and they're at Cincinnati. So you figure it's a possibility, a team that has given up a lot of points. There's a chance for Colt McCoy to open some eyes. A guy. So I mentioned that I have David Garrard, and I think David Garrard is an exceptional option this week. He's probably not available. If he is, go get him right now. He could be a top-10 quarterback this week going up against Indianapolis, and we know what kind of points Indianapolis has allowed on the season. They're much better against the pass than against the run, but Garrard has had some pretty solid numbers this year between Mercedes Lewis, Mike Thomas, Mike Sims-Walker. He's got some weapons, and I think this is a game where I'm not sure if Jacksonville's going to win, but if Jacksonville does not win, I don't think it will be because of a poor performance by David Garrard and the passing game. Another sleeper to consider is Kerry Collins. Kerry Collins, Tennessee.
My uncle.
Hosting Houston. Is that so?
Yeah.
Do you have a relative named Kerry?
No, I don't.
It could be.
I just like calling people with the same last name.
Sure.
Like Phil Collins.
Derek Lowe is my cousin.
Phil Collins. There you go.
Derek Lowe is
a good one.
It's a great one.
Way more famous than Kerry Collins.
Well, Derek Lowe, D. Lowe, is really why people started calling me B. Lowe.
That's actually a very interesting story. I never would have made that connection.
No, around the time that D'Lo was in his prime with the Red Sox.
He's a playoff stud.
Sure, 98 to 0, obviously to 04, which was, you know, the period of time that I was, you know, starting to emerge myself. No, that's far from true. But B'Lo was the kind of the name that was given to me after after D'Lo.
That's
so there
catchy.
You go. There you go. Not bad, huh? Where was I on that D'Lo? Oh, Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins. My uncle.
Your uncle, D'Lo. Yeah. Kerry Collins hosting Houston. Listen, Houston, the Houston pass defense has been a punching bag all year. They're awful. Houston's awful. Played a Monday night game against Baltimore. Lost at the end. Gave up some points. Gave up some touchdowns. And I think Kerry Collins, while he won't be anything close to, you know, a fantasy star, I think there's an opportunity now that it's you know, he's the definitive starter right now for the rest of this year. Tennessee's not going anywhere, but Vince Young's on IR. Rusty Smith obviously isn't getting anything done. I think this is the makings of a pretty good matchup. Kenny Britt is back. He fumbled last week. Not very good for him, but he's back. He's a good wide receiver. Nate Washington, hey, maybe even Randy Moss can get into the mix. I know that's too far-fetched. But I think Kerry Collins is not a bad option as well. So Kerry Collins, David Garrard, Colt McCoy. Guys I wouldn't really feel too promising about, Alex Smith tonight. I just don't like Alex Smith. I think what he did last week with three touchdowns, no picks, I believe, I don't see him. I need to see much more before I'd ever rely on Alex Smith, especially tonight on the road against the number one pass defense in the league and a San Diego team that's fighting tooth and nail to get to the playoffs. I don't like Alex Smith. I'm just talking about guys that you might be considering if you have Aaron Rodgers on your team or if you have Matt Cassel. Alex Smith, probably a guy who's available. I wouldn't like him this week. Now, you know, the Matt Flynns, the Joe Webbs, goes without saying, in my opinion, you don't want those guys. Denver is an interesting situation, too, talking more on the Rodgers-Cassel area. I think Eric Studsville is kind of a wild card as the head coach of Denver. I don't think he has much loyalty to Kyle Orton, and it looks like Kyle Orton may be on the outs as far as the starting role. But that brings into play, is that Tim Tebow's job? Does Tim Tebow get in the mix? Whatever the case, Tim Tebow, Brady Quinn, I wouldn't go in that direction either. But it should be noted, Kyle Orton, if he's your starting quarterback, don't necessarily rely on him this week. Denver at Oakland, he might not be playing. So those are the key quarterback situations, and we want to hear from you. Patriots.com, webradio at Patriots.com. That's the email address. If you have some questions pertaining to tonight's game, and I have a there's a big question pertaining to tonight's game, actually several, but some very interesting ones we want to get to. Send us your email, webradio at patriots.com. Of course, you can also call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. That situation about tonight's game that I want to bring up is the San Diego running back situation. What a conundrum it's been. Ryan Matthews has been was my second-round draft pick in the league that I actually made the playoffs in. Complete bust. A complete bust for San Diego and for fantasy. I'm not saying he's a bust as far as his career, but San Diego trades high up into the draft to take him. They lost LaDainian Tomlinson, going in a new direction at running back, and I thought from the very beginning of the year that Ryan Matthews would be a guy that would get the ball in his hands. He'd be the workhorse. They wouldn't worry about years down the road. He'd be the workhorse this year, and they wouldn't think twice. How did that work out? Not well. He gets hurt. Yep. He misses time. Mike Tolbert, who even plays from the get-go, plays well and is the goal line guy. But then all of a sudden, last week, Mike Tolbert, Ryan Matthews, but not just there he is again, Mike Tolbert and Ryan Matthews, down to a one-yard differential,
yeah,
had identical numbers,
yeah,
15 carries, 65, 6, 7 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, not bad.
What do you do?
Solid. But that makes it almost like in years past and in this year, too, with the Patriots backfield, like we've always talked about, B-Lo, the whole kind of committee aspect of it, and it makes it really hard to play a Patriots running back. It's almost impossible.
It very hard. But this year, Mike Tolbert had gotten into a groove by week 4 or 5.
He killed me in a few leagues.
He was the guy. He was scoring touchdowns. He was the primary ball carrier. I mean, Darren Sproles is always in the mix. He's the more the third down guy. But even when Ryan Matthews was healthy and was playing, he'd have games with 4, 5, 6 carries, and Mike Tolbert would get the carries and the key carries at the goal line. What I say about all this is I give a slight nod still toward Tolbert in tonight's game.
I do too.
I actually have both guys on my team.
Who are you gonna roll with?
I'm gonna go with Tolbert.
I would too.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have a horrendous running back situation on this team. I screwed up. Ryan Matthews, I put a lot of stock in Beanie Wells. I'm dealing with the Brian Westbrooks now. I had Marshawn Lynch for a while, but no, of course I didn't have him when he had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I had Marshawn Lynch when he had 10 carries, 29 yards, and no touchdowns. Yeah. Those kinds of weeks. So I've had a terrible, terrible year running back. And don't get me wrong, a small part of me has thought about starting both guys tonight.
Interesting.
A small part of me has thought about starting both guys. Well, I've got Brian Westbrook, who came up big for me last week.
Yeah, he's played well the last couple weeks.
I think I'm missing someone, but, I do still have Beanie Wells on the roster, but there's no chance I'm starting him. So it's really down to, Tolbert and Westbrook with Matthews.
Are you going
to
roll with the 2 running back and then in the flex play a wide receiver? Or are you going to roll with the 3 running back?
Well, I'm a little deeper at wide receiver, although not great.
Yeah.
You know, Dwayne Bowe has been huge for me until the last 2 weeks. But I've got to take
Castle,
a chance at him.
And Castle might be back, which might
Castle
help
Castle might be back. Mike Williams, the Tampa Bay wide receiver, Mike Williams, has come up big for me.
Yep.
Guys like Lewis Murphy, who I've had around.
Last week.
So he had a big week last week, and a couple other guys as well. So I had Steve Smith for a while. Unfortunately, wasn't able to, he's out. He's out, of course. So, I've thought about it because I'm thinking in terms of San Fran, a decent run defense, but not a, I don't feel like that's a great defense overall.
Yeah.
And I think just the San Diego offense to me is going to roll tonight. And, part of it is a fear of, I'm going to start the wrong guy if you pick Tolbert or Matthews. And I'm sure other people might have the same conundrum. Maybe don't have both guys, but if you have one or the other, what do you do? So, it's a tough call. I give Tolbert the edge because if it comes down to sort of a split backfield situation for San Diego tonight, I do still think Tolbert is the guy that's going to be in better position for the touchdowns. And let's be honest, in most leagues, a lot of scoring, That's what it comes down to, the touchdown. So quite the conundrum. Now, it's not like there's a it's not like it's an easy situation at wide receiver either for this team, for San Diego. You've got Vincent Jackson. I don't really trust him, but Malcolm Floyd is banged up. Legadou Nane, Seyi Ajiro-Tutu. You know, Antonio Gates doesn't look like he's going to play. Someone's going to catch the ball for the San Diego Chargers. Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback, great fantasy quarterback. He's going to throw it. Who do you start? Who's available for them? We'll probably get the inactives in, about 2.5 hours. So monitor that. If you've got anyone on the San Diego-San Fran game, you just got to pay attention to it all. But certainly a lot of intrigue right there. Patriots.com is what you're listening to, the Fantasy Lowdown web radio at Patriots.com. That's how we want to hear from you. Let's get to the emails. We've got a handful of emails, but we want to hear many more. You've got about 35 minutes here to get in on some questions here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Glenn chimes in. Hi, managed to win once again. So now I'm on a 9-game winning streak. I'm currently sitting second with a 10-4 record. I need to win this week to guarantee a place in the playoff picture, so I'm hoping you'll be able to help me out. Glenn, I'm not sure about how the schedule for your league, but I've got to imagine that this has to be the last week of the regular season, if you're even still in the regular season, because you need at least 2 weeks of the playoffs, don't you? So, Glenn, whatever it is, it sounds like at 10-4, you're probably sitting pretty. We'll help you out here. My team is fairly straightforward, I hope, but I'm always doing silly things. Please, can you have a look at my running backs, as Sean Green hasn't really been doing much? And maybe Rashad Jennings would be a better option this week. Also, not sure about the tight end situation, so here we go. I remember Glenn from previous emails. He's got Michael Vick as his starting quarterback, and he must have cut Kevin Cobb, because I remember this emailer, he's had Kevin Cobb on the bench. I've endorsed that over the course of the season, Vick and Cobb. Now, here's your problem. It's not a bad move at this point, maybe, to get rid of Cobb, but you might be caught shorthanded if Michael Vick goes down. But anyways, you have no decision to make this week as far as quarterback. It's Michael Vick. Let's get to that running back situation. He's got Peyton Hillis, Rashad Jennings. It looks like he must have dropped Cobb for Rashad Jennings. Also has Anthony Dixon and Sean Green. Peyton Hillis, no-brainer. Facing Cincinnati, the 24th ranked run defense. Peyton Hillis is in your lineup every week. So the decision comes down to Rashad Jennings of Jacksonville at Indianapolis, Anthony Dixon of San Fran at San Diego, and Sean Green at Pittsburgh.
I'm going straight at Jennings.
Well, you know what, and I think I'm leaning towards that
as well, Kevin. Because Indianapolis can't stop the run. He's gotten a ton of carries, which has frustrated me, a Maurice Jones-Drew owner, and Jennings actually outperformed him last week going against a terrible run defense, and the other two guys are going up against much better
run
defenses.
Jennings had one really long run, which skewed a lot of it, but Jennings is doing really well.
He's getting a lot of work, too.
It's a tough call here, and I'm going to give you some pros and cons in each one. Rashad Jennings absolutely is a consideration because Maurice Jones-Drew is virtually an MVP candidate at this point, but Rashad Jennings, like you said, Kevin, is getting some carries. He's doing pretty well with those carries, and it's not like the other guys you're considering here, Anthony Dixon and Sean Green, are every down backs.
They don't blow me away either.
Anthony Dixon, you know, if Brian Westbrook is healthy and playing, you've got to rule out Anthony Dixon
And the Chargers
San Diego.
Defense isn't that bad.
Chargers defense
not
is not that
all.
Bad. And so you've got to, you know, I should have mentioned earlier when I'm talking about Brian Westbrook, I slipped my mind for a moment that that's a decision I'd have to make, obviously, tonight as far as those running backs, having Tolbert and Westbrook potentially in my lineup. So I don't think you're going to want Anthony Dixon, but there's the benefit you have, Glenn, is if you just monitor this situation in the hour and a half before the game tonight, to me, if Brian Westbrook is playing, and I'm sure he will, then I think Anthony Dixon is a pure backup. He's maybe on the upper echelon of backups as far as fantasy QBs, but I don't think you're going to want to start him. Now, Sean Green, you know, the Jets running back situation has been dreadful recently, and they're going up against Pittsburgh.
Haven't scored a touchdown in two games.
Touchdown in two games. Pittsburgh, the top-ranked run defense. I think we're looking at Rashad Jennings. I really do. I think we're looking at Rashad Jennings.
I like we're on the same page.
There's some explosiveness. There's some explosiveness there. I think there's breakout ability. I'd be surprised, put it this way, if Sean Green has a big performance. I'd be very surprised if Anthony Dixon has a big performance. I wouldn't be stunned if Rashad Jennings against Indy has a big performance, like I was saying about David Garrard. I don't know if Jacksonville's going to win this game, but I'm pretty confident that they're going to score a good amount of points.
The Colts suck.
And they sort of spread it around. I mean, there's a bunch of guys, no one great, but there's some good players on that team at wide receiver. There's a great running back, and then there's Rashad Jennings. So I'm going to give the nod to Jennings, and Glenn had Hillis and Jennings in his projected lineup here. So you've got endorsement from all of us here with Rashad Jennings. If you look at rankings, and I did look at Greg Rosenthal's rankings for this, all three of those guys, Dixon, Green, and Jennings, are in that same tier between 45 and 55. Once you get into that slot, if you're dealing with three guys in that phase right there, it's virtually a toss-up. We're going to go with Jennings. Now, wide receiver, there's a little bit of a I actually think you might have a little bit of a decision to make here, but not really. Roddy White, number one guy in the league, he's fine at Seattle. Jeremy Maclin at the Giants, Miles Austin against Washington, and then Nate Washington against Houston. I'm high on Nate Washington this week. If you had a flex spot, I'd probably say go with Nate Washington, but you know, White is definitely in there. Maclin, you've got to say, is in there. It's been the DeSean Jackson show of late, but you know, certainly Jeremy Maclin is a guy you don't want to forget about. He can still be a top 10 guy, and with Michael Vick throwing the ball, you know, he's in there. Now, Miles Austin has had some productive weeks. He's been up and down, but I think he gets a nod as well going up against the Giants. You know, the Giants, very good defense, a very good defense, but I still think Dallas is going to be throwing the ball quite a bit. I think Austin will get some passes thrown his way. And, you know, when it comes to Nate Washington, you know, like I said, I think he has a chance to be productive this week. I don't think I'm going to go ahead of those other three guys. Now, tight end. He's got Antonio Gates and he's got Owen Daniels. Doesn't look good for Gates. I don't remember if I saw for sure that Gates is officially out tonight, but we'll know that soon. Most likely he's out. And if he is healthy and if he is playing, I don't think he's going to have too much production. So, you know, I do think you're gonna go with Owen Daniels. And Owen Daniels, you know, Houston against Tennessee, you know, I think that's a pretty decent matchup for Houston. I think it's a pretty decent matchup for Daniels. I think you look at rankings, you'll see him being top five, top ten, certainly as far as tight ends go. So, in my opinion, you're going to go Daniels. Not much of a decision there. And then Neil Rackers is the kicker and defense, Chicago Bears at Minnesota. I'll tell you what, that Bears defense might have a chance for a huge week this week against Minnesota. You know, Tavares Jackson goes on injured reserve, which means you're looking at Brett Favre, Joe Webb, or Patrick Ramsey. Whatever the case may be, that's a great, great matchup for Chicago. If it's Favre, he's got an injury, and he throws picks. If it's Joe Webb, it's Joe Webb. If it's Patrick Ramsey, it's Patrick Ramsey. Yeah, you got to worry about Adrian Peterson, but the Chicago defense should be a consideration this week. And while we're at it, you know, the Patriots defense should be a strong consideration this week if Matt Flynn doesn't go. Now, you can make the case that the Patriots defense is a good consideration any week these days because of their ability to force turnovers. And the last 2 weeks, they really haven't given up many yards or touchdowns either. So I would say that the Patriots and Bears are two maybe not even underrated defenses. They might be two pretty good defenses to start this week. Webradio at patriots.com. That's our email address. I've talked to you about some of the key topics this week, and we want to hear from you on via email in the second half of the show. A few more emails to get to, and we're going to take a break right now, get to those emails right after this.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge. And enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize. An all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
That's right, Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio every week, 4 to 5 Eastern, here on Patriots.com, and we'll be coming your way probably through the month of December, and then, you know, that's, you know, really what the fantasy football season is. It parallels the NFL season. Back to the emails we go. Harry from Las Vegas. Hi, B-Lo, and greetings from out west. It's playoff time, finally, and two of my four teams have made the cut. Thanks for your help during the regular season. As for my playoff teams, I have a couple of questions. Team number one, pick three of the following at wide receiver. Sidney Rice versus the Bears, Deion Branch versus the Packers, Malcolm Floyd versus the Niners, Larry Fitzgerald versus the Panthers, or Percy Harvin against the Bears.
I go Floyd.
I think you've got three choices here, and to me, there's not a whole lot of ambiguity. I'd stay away from Sidney Rice. I just think
the quarterback situation
makes him a big risk. Now you might see him ranked high because he's Sidney Rice, but I don't really like that too much at all. Love Branch. I don't see how you could ever sit Branch at this point. I don't really think he's much of a matchup guy. I think when Tom Brady is throwing the ball, I think Deion Branch deserves to be in your lineup. Now, Floyd, tonight, there's an injury situation with him. He's got a hamstring, but you've got an easy choice, I think, with these Thursday night games. If he's not on the inactive list, he's going to play and he's going to be huge. I mean, he'll be probably the number one wide receiver for San Diego with Phillip Rivers throwing the ball.
I like that matchup.
Yeah. If he's inactive, you just say, okay, he's inactive. You just don't even think about it.
A quick little note, Branch was limited in practice.
Branch was limited in practice. That is
a new development.
That is true. That should be, yep, he popped up yesterday.
He had the hamstring earlier in the year, and this looks like it's something completely different.
But what I'll tell you this much, as far as Branch goes, he was limited in yesterday's practice, and no one had any reason to think going into it that he'd be hurt. So when you see that, you think, ooh, maybe it happened during practice, and he's going to be out, and it could be bad. But he was back out there today, so I actually think he's going to be all right. And then, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, listen, he's still an elite wide receiver, and going up against Carolina Panthers, even with John Skelton throwing him the ball, I still think that's a guy you need to start. Now, Percy Harvin, same thing as Sidney Rice. He's got his migraine issue, plus who's throwing him the ball. To me, it's Fitzgerald, it's Floyd, it's Branch, and you stay away from those Vikings guys. Now, if it turns out that Floyd is inactive tonight and you've got another spot, I think it goes to Rice. I put Rice over Harvin if you're going with one of those Minnesota guys. But Fitzgerald, Floyd, Branch, those are the three in my opinion. Team number two, who should I start at wide receiver? Pick two. Percy Harvin against the Bears. Tampa Bay's Mike Williams against the Lions. Michael Crabtree tonight against the Chargers. Jabbar Gaffney against the Raiders. Or Jacoby Jones against the Titans. Now, this is an interesting one. I think Michael Crabtree, his stock has risen a little bit. Alex Smith, the quarterback there. I would say Mike Williams is your number one guy. I think if you're picking two out of these, because, you know, there isn't really an elite guy there, I think Mike Williams is your safest bet, taking all things into consideration. The opponent, the health, the quarterback situation, all that. Jabbar Gaffney, I stay away from. I stay far away from him. You don't know what the situation is at quarterback there. He's tailed off, going up against the Raiders. Don't like Gaffney this week really much at all. Jacoby Jones against the Titans. Not a huge fan there. I think Schaub will get his opportunities, but I don't think it's going to be an elite day for Schaub, and I think it would mostly be Andre Johnson would mostly be the beneficiary. Right now I'm saying Crabtree and Williams. Now, Crabtree going tonight, it's a good defense too, and I'm not sold on Alex Smith, but I just don't think it's more of the less of multiple evils here. I'd probably go Mike Williams and Michael Crabtree. And lastly, a running back, pick one. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis against the Packers, LeGarrette Blount against the Lions, or Mike Tolbert against the Niners. I'm pretty sure you're going to want to go LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount is 15th rated on rotoworld.com, and Green-Ellis and Tolbert, Green-Ellis is 23rd. Tolbert, you see down there around, Tolbert's 20. So it's not a landslide, but I think LeGarrette Blount is the safest guy against Detroit, and Detroit's got the 22nd ranked run defense. So in the order, I'd probably go Blount, Tolbert, Green-Ellis. Thanks again for all your help, and hopefully one of my two teams will win their league championship. Well, Harry, why rule out the other one? Why don't you go with two? Why don't you say, I hope both are going to make it? I think you got a chance. Some good questions there from Harry and in Las Vegas, so we appreciate him chiming in. Next one. Tim is in Baltimore. Hey, Brian, I just have a quick question about my wide receivers this week. I need to start three of the following. What do you think? Hey, Kevin, listen in here, all right? Want to get your thoughts on these five. Hakeem Nicks, who came back and had a pretty good game last week. Danny Woodhead, of course, he usually starts counts at either running back or wide receiver. Malcolm Floyd, Pierre Garçon, and Miles Austin. I think he's got some tough calls here. I would eliminate Woodhead. I've said this each week, and I just think that it's he gets some carries, he gets some passes, he's had some touchdowns. I still think there's less chance of a touchdown with Danny Woodhead, and less chance of big yardage than with some of these explosive wide receivers. Now Pierre Garçon. The one thing I'd say about him, he's coming off a big game, but it looks like Austin Cauley is back. And if Austin Cauley is back, I think Pierre Garçon is the guy that gets downgraded just a bit. I'm going to say Malcolm Floyd is definitely one of your guys, again, if he is playing tonight. If Malcolm Floyd is playing tonight, you want him in there. I think there's not much doubt about that. Pierre Garçon, you know...
I think I'd go with him.
You know what? I'd probably go with him as well. And, you know, I think Hakeem Nicks is the guy that intrigues me.
It's a wild
because
card.
He's a wild card, but he's healthy. They've got problems at other with other wide receivers.
Isn't Steve Smith out for the year?
Steve Smith's done for the year.
There's more
Manningham's
there.
been banged up. I think you're going to go Floyd and Nicks. And then the third guy between Garçon and Austin... That one might be a toss-up. Garçon troubles me because I think Austin Cauley could come in and become, you know, one of Manning's go-to guys. Austin scares me just because, you know, he's been inconsistent. And
inconsistent,
you know,
quarterback play, too.
But going up against Washington, Washington is a very, very bad quarterback. I think I'm going to go Floyd, Nicks, Austin.
Fair enough.
In that order.
It's not a bad stable he has right
no,
there.
No, no. I'm going to go in my 1 through 5, I'm going to go Floyd, Nicks, Austin, Garçon, Woodhead, with the tightest gap being between 3 and 4, Garçon and Austin, because if they could almost
be interchangeable.
If I saw that, if I didn't see Austin Cauley coming back and playing a role. And, you know, they're going up against Jacksonville, a very poor pass defense. I would probably say Garcon gets the edge over Austin. And I could still probably go either way. But I think, and again, like I've said again, if it turns out Malcolm Floyd doesn't go tonight, it's an easy call for me. It's Nix, Garcon, and Austin. But I think it's Floyd, Nix, Austin, Garcon, Woodhead in that order. Good question there, Tim, and I think you got a promising group right there. Another email. This one is from Kabir. Hi, Brian. Well, this is my first time playing fantasy football, and I won my division. The division I'm in was really bad, he notes. But here is who I have as my starters and who my bench is. Just would like your thoughts on this. You know what? I've got to go. I've just got to open an attachment. I remember a couple weeks ago, Kabir, with a really astute way of sending an email to the Fantasy Lowdown, sending his team in an attachment, which gives you a little bit more context. And it's an ESPN league.
I thought that was Mikey Vandalism.
You know what? Maybe you're right.
And then you requested that other people do it.
I did.
So maybe Kabir is jumping on board.
That's true. All right. Well, this is great. Kabir, with his team, Anishinaabe Cooley? Don't know about that one. Do you know what that means? Is a joke on me, Kerry? I just called you Kerry. Kevin. What are you cooking up over there?
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
There you go. Well, he's going up against Columbus Thrashers. Now, Kabir was first in Division II. The Columbus Thrashers, led by Mel Renteria, it looks like is the name, tied for first in Division III. Wow. Complex, complicated league here.
This must be some sort of European-type league or something.
A Euro league.
It doesn't sound like an American-based league.
Oh, he's in Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I've never heard of a league with three divisions and with names such as this.
You haven't lived.
It's news to me.
You haven't lived. You haven't lived unless until you're in a fantasy league.
I gotta go
league.
To Columbus.
There you go. Okay, so Kabir's team. He doesn't have really a decision to make at quarterback because that's Tom Brady. So, you know, Tom Brady is really probably the one quarterback who you'd say, well, man, you know, there could be a weather factor at play.
Everyone sucks but me.
There could be a weather factor at play. It might snow. It might this. It might that. Who cares? He's probably doing better in that weather. So Tom Brady's the quarterback, no doubt about it. Really no decision at running back either. Actually, let me take a peek here. Well, okay, not much of a decision at running back. Maurice Jones-Drew, LeGarrette Blount, and Mike Goodson. Now, Mike Goodson surprised me last week, getting a touchdown, still getting some carries, but facing Arizona, I think Jonathan Stewart's going to get much more playing time there. So it's Jones-Drew and it's Blount, and there's no doubt about it. I should just mention, just for the sake of mentioning, Kerry Collins is Kabir's backup quarterback, maybe on my recommendation early in the show to grab Kerry Collins as a backup, but he's not getting in there over Tom Brady, obviously. Wide receivers, Kenny Britt, Stevie Johnson, and Hines Ward, Lance Moore, Danny Amendola. And what he's got here is he's got a running back wide receiver flex spot and then two wide receiver tight end flex spots. So technically, Kabir could get away without even a single wide receiver. Kenny Britt, he's got in his lineup, and I'm high on Kenny Britt this week. I like Kenny Britt because it looked like last week he was becoming the number one target for Tennessee until he fumbled, and then all hell broke loose. But I do think Kenny Britt's going to get back in the action this week against a bad pass defense in Houston, so Kenny Britt belongs there. Hard to bench Steve Johnson with what he's done this year. I think he belongs there as well. Don't really like Hines Ward because I don't really like Ben Roethlisberger in that passing game this week, so I'm keeping him on the bench. Lance Moore, always a wild card, those New Orleans receivers. I wouldn't put him above Kenny Britt and Steve Johnson. And here's the deal. He's got Vernon Davis as a tight end, so you're definitely going to want Vernon Davis in one of those tight end flex spots, which means at most Kabir here is going to have two wide receivers. So it's Britt, Johnson, Ward, Moore, Amendola for those two spots. And I think Britt and Johnson are the right guys. Steve Johnson, he's taken a hit in the sense that, he didn't have a touchdown. He's gone a couple weeks, I think, without a touchdown. But I still think, you know, his explosive ability and Ryan Fitzgerald, you know, quietly, Ryan Fitzgerald has been one of probably the few quarterbacks in the league who's played every game, and he's sort of produced. I mean, he throws picks as well, but he's thrown some touchdowns. So I like Britt and Johnson there, and I like Vernon Davis. So far, Kabir, I'm going with who you have in the mix. I should also mention Keelan Williams, a running back option, but he's really not an option. Patriots defense, how could you dislike the Patriots defense this week? He's also got the Browns defense against Cincinnati. So those are two defenses that are pretty solid. But the Patriots defense, if they're going up against Matt Flynn, against Matt Flynn this week, and with their ability to force turnovers, I think the Patriots D gets a nod over Cleveland, and then Matt Bryant is the kicker. So, Kabir, I like your lineup as is. You know, on your bench, Hines Ward, Lance Moore, Danny Amendola, Keelan Williams, Mike Goodson, Browns defense, and Kerry Collins. You've got some solid depth in case an injury situation has popped up or anything like that. Now, as long as he sent me the screenshot here, I'll just take a quick look at how he matches up with his opponent. Tom Brady, Matt Ryan. Edge Tom Brady, but it's close. Matt Ryan at Seattle, I think he can put up some numbers, but Edge goes to Tom Brady and Kabir. Running backs, Adrian Peterson and Javaris James versus Maurice Jones-Drew and LeGarrette Blount. I'm going to give the edge to Kabir because I think Adrian Peterson will be hurt by the whole offensive situation there and the feel that you get about Minnesota. And Javaris James, while he might be the best option at running back for Indianapolis and he might score a touchdown, I think there's low upside overall for Javaris James. So I'm giving the edge at running back to Kabir as well. His opponent does have Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis in a flex spot, so we'll add him into the mix. He's pretty good. So his flex spots are Green-Ellis, DeSean Jackson, Rob Gronkowski versus Kenny Britt, Steve Johnson, and Vernon Davis. I'll edge the opponent. You know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis would probably expect a touchdown and decent yardage. DeSean Jackson is the most explosive receiver in the game. We saw what he did last week. And Rob Gronkowski, I think, has scored a touchdown in more than half of the Patriots games, or he's averaging about half a touchdown a game. So I'd probably give the slight edge to the opponent there. Defense, you know, he's got the Eagles against the Giants. Kabir has the Patriots. I'm giving the edge to the Patriots. And then kicker, I don't know, Sebastian Janikowski against Denver, Matt Bryant against Seattle. You know, hard to say. Really doesn't matter to me. But I would keep in mind that Mercedes Lewis is on the bench.
And
proven to be having a pretty good year. Mercedes Lewis and Rashad Jennings, a couple of bench players that stand out to me on Kabir's opponent's team that could find their way into the lineup. So, Kabir, appreciate the email. Appreciate the way you sent your email, that PDF, very good. And, you know, I think he's got a shot there. I think he's got a pretty good shot. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. A couple other thoughts on a few other topics this week. You know, we talked about a couple of running back situations, but I think New Orleans is a very interesting one as well. Chris Ivory, not necessarily healthy, and it's about the time that Reggie Bush is coming back, Pierre Thomas even as well. Chris Ivory has a hamstring injury. He's going to be reevaluated on Friday. And, you know, you've got to imagine that between Ivory, Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, it doesn't look like there'll be a clear-cut guy among that group as far as, you know, who's safe to start. And that's a bit of a problem if you're relying on any of those New Orleans players. And, you know, frankly, you know, going up against Baltimore, I don't know if any of them are really startable. It's, you know, on one hand, it's sort of like New Orleans wide receiver situation where, yeah, sure, Marcus Colston is probably the number one guy, but you just don't know week to week which guy is going to be the guy. But the truth is there's a better chance that a New Orleans wide receiver is going to break out and have a huge game than a New Orleans running back. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. We've talked about the San Diego running back situation and a few of the quarterback situations as well. Now, should note as well, just saw that David Garrard limited in Thursday's practice with a hamstring injury. This is something that just popped up. It's very concerning to me because apparently he didn't have this on Wednesday, which means it may have come up on Thursday during practice, which means you just don't know. You didn't see it happen in a game. So David Garrard going down or having a limited availability at practice on Thursday for the Jaguars with a hammy is not good news for someone like me who's looking at Garrard as a backup to Aaron Rodgers and a guy who's going to start, you know, for my team this week. So monitor that one. I sure will be as well. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Jesse from Maui chimes in. Two quick ones below. I know in running back, I'm going with Darren McFadden, but need help with the rest. Go Pats. Wide receiver, need two of them. Vincent Jackson, James Jones, Malcolm Floyd, Seattle's Mike Williams, and Austin Cauley. Well, I'm not very high on Vincent Jackson. I know I have said that, you know, San Diego, Phillip Rivers, that's an explosive guy, and they can put points on the board this year, but haven't seen enough out of Vincent Jackson, don't get a good vibe out of Vincent Jackson to recommend having him start. I'll say to you, Jesse, what I've said to other people today, Malcolm Floyd definitely deserves one of your starting spots if he's playing, and we'll know that in about 2 hours or so, but I would say he deserves a spot in there. I like Austin Colley. I like Austin Colley. You know, Mike Williams, you know, I'd say, okay, Seattle's at home. They're much better at home than on the road, but I think if Austin Colley is healthy, that's a guy, yeah, I can just see Peyton Manning throwing the ball to him 10, 11, 12 times if he's healthy this week. James Jones, as of this point with Matt Flynn playing. I like Floyd and Colley for your two wide receivers this week. Running back, need two. Darren McFadden, Ronnie Brown, Justin Forsett, Pierre Thomas, and Maurice Morris. Yeah, McFadden is the main guy, and like you said, Jesse, he gets a spot for sure. The other guys, hard to pick through the scraps that you offer me here. Ronnie Brown, yeah, I mean, I could always see, I feel like Ronnie Brown is a fairly low-risk guy that you can bank on 50 to 60, maybe 70 yards, and a touchdown every other game. Is this a game he scores? I don't know. I think he's, you know, they host Buffalo. I think it's an opportunity for him, a very bad rush run defense. There's an opportunity there. Don't really like Justin Forsett. Don't really like what I'm hearing in terms of Pierre Thomas and just the overall New Orleans running back situation and who's going to get the carries, who's going to get the chances. Don't really like that much. And Maurice Morris doesn't do much for me either going against Tampa Bay. I think you're looking at Darren McFadden and Ronnie Brown among those options. I don't think it's a great choice, Ronnie Brown, but among the guys that you offer me there, Jesse, I'm going to go with Ronnie Brown. That's the guy. So McFadden and Ronnie Brown is the way to go. Lyndon in Colton, California checks in. Hey guys, who do you like for the rest of the season? Darren McFadden or Adrian Peterson? I need to pick one for the rest of the season in my salary cap based league. Okay. So this is with an eye toward the future. And I'm guessing because he offers me the schedules here that it's about the present and the future. So, McFadden down the stretch faces Denver. Denver has the 31 ranked run defense. Indianapolis, the 29th ranked run defense. And Kansas City, the 15th ranked run defense. Not bad right there. Not bad at all. And, you know, McFadden's part of a team that has, you know, not a great situation at quarterback, but, you know, sort of a mixed bag. Adrian Peterson might have a worse situation at quarterback as far as his team goes. Plays Chicago's number 2 ranked run defense, Philadelphia's number 11 ranked run defense, and Detroit's number 22 ranked run defense. So overall, the edge goes to McFadden as far as the opponents. I might lean toward McFadden. Now, you know, in the few, if it really is about beyond this year, hard to go against Peterson. Hard to put McFadden above Peterson. If it's about the rest of the season and you need a guy for the games this season, I'd probably say McFadden. So it's a tough call there, Lyndon, because I'm getting mixed signals out of you. Is this a guy that you want for the rest of this season because you're in the playoffs and you need to win these games? I go McFadden. If it's for the rest of the season because you need to have a freezer and it's got to be one or the other, it's probably Peterson. I don't think Peterson is a bad candidate for the rest of this season. In terms of playing, I just think McFadden might be elite down the stretch. So that's what I'd go with. And then Lyndon also says, hey guys, here's another one for my flex spot this week. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Matt Forte, or Vincent Jackson. He tells me that Green Bay has allowed only 5 rushing touchdowns this season. Well, anytime I hear something like that in reference to Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, I say, well, what about Pittsburgh? Patriots went to Pittsburgh November 14th. Pittsburgh was the number 1 run defense in the league at the time. Still is. And Green-Ellis, now granted, the game kind of got out of hand and Green-Ellis was running the ball. But even early on, the Patriots were able to run the ball pretty well. I wouldn't rule out Green-Ellis. Now, do we want Matt Forte? Matt Forte didn't do much last week. He hasn't done a ton all year. And, you know, they're going to be outside going against Chicago. Good run defense. And then you got Vincent Jackson. I say go Green-Ellis. I had a little bit of concern in recent weeks that Fred Taylor might take some of the carries away from Green Ellis. But Fred Taylor is looking like the garbage time running back for this team. Brian Hoyer and Fred Taylor, when you see those two on the field, you know it's garbage time. So I'm not overly concerned about Green Ellis losing any carries. Not concerned that he's going to lose carries to Danny Woodhead. Woodhead will play his role, and that'll be fine. So I'm going Green Ellis, Colton. I like the question. It's a good question. But give me Green Ellis. Webradio at Patriots.com. You have a very short amount of time here, but if you have a chance and you want to get a question in, send it our way, webradio at Patriots.com. So San Francisco at San Diego tonight. We talked about some of the storylines. I love Malcolm Floyd in this game tonight. Don't really like Vincent Jackson. The running back situation for San Diego, Mike Tolbert, Ryan Matthews. Give me Tolbert with a slight edge over Matthews, but the fact that they had the exact same number of carries and virtually the same number of yards last week worries me a little bit. As far as San Fran, certainly like Vernon Davis. Not overly high on Alex Smith, though, to have a great overall game. I think if he does, it's going to be a Michael Westbrook game. So that's what I think about there. Now, Sunday night, Packers-Patriots. How do you not love the Pats in a lot of ways? Tom Brady, he could be facing, you know, a merger of the top five defenses, the best players on each of the five defenses overall. Give me Tom Brady against anyone. Hasn't thrown an interception in about eight games. Team hasn't turned the ball over in five games. So Tom Brady is the number one guy to me. Definitely want to start him. And I think with the Packers, if Matt Flynn starts, and we should know on Saturday, we'll probably know on Saturday or have a better feel for whether it's Matt Flynn or Aaron Rodgers, and sounding like it's going to be Flynn, then I think Greg Jennings takes a big hit, as does Donald Driver. James Jones, Andrew Quarles, all these guys. Notch them down a few pegs. Going to be rough for them. And their running game hasn't done much anyways in a while. Brandon Jackson, James Starks, Kuhn, they haven't done much. Shaping up to be a pretty opportunistic day for the New England Patriots as far as fantasy goes. So it's an interesting call as far as some of those Packers players, but you're going to want to knock them down a peg. Some interesting games, too, that you've got to be looking out for. Jacksonville-Indy, I think it's going to be an explosive game. I think a lot of guys in Jacksonville are very much worth starting. Garrard, Maurice Jones-Drew, Rashard Jennings. You know, Mike Sims-Walker, Mike Thomas, Mercedes Lewis, consider all of them. And with Indianapolis, you know, I think if Austin Colley gets back in there, I think he's a great guy to consider. And I also think that certainly Reggie Wayne is the guy as well. An intriguing game, fantasy-wise, is Atlanta-Seattle, because Seattle does pretty well at home. Good chance for them to rebound. But I think Atlanta also will put up pretty big numbers. And that Monday night game, you know, I'm looking on TV and I see digging out from the University of Minnesota Stadium, where games haven't been played in a while, and people have been digging out because that's where they're going to play on Monday night. Good for them. They get an extra day and a half from what typically would be a Sunday 1 o'clock game, Chicago at Minnesota. So, you know, I saw what Chicago wasn't able to do in the snow last week. Now, they'll be playing Minnesota, a lesser team than the Patriots, but I'm not really sold that Jay Cutler's going to be much of a factor. I think that could be a very low-scoring, ugly one in that game. So we're in the playoffs. Fantasy football playoffs, most likely. If you're still alive, congratulations to you, and good luck in the playoffs this week. If you're on the outside looking in, hey, you still want to get those rankings ready for next year, and why not watch these games with a fantasy football eye, even if you're not involved? You want to see who some of the sleepers might be for next year. Just, you know, keep an eye on guys, younger guys in some of these games who get some opportunities. Take a note. Say, well, you know what, this player in Seattle, he seems to be opening some eyes. Or Carolina, hey, might want to watch out for Brandon LaFell next year. He looks pretty good. Just take some notes. That's all. Fantasy Lowdown comes your way every Thursday from 4 to 5 Eastern here on Patriots.com, available as well as a podcast. So be sure to check us out. We know a lot of you do. Thanks to all of our emailers. Thanks to Kevin, don't call me Kerry Collins, behind the glass. We'll be back next week right here on Patriots.com.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Everyone sucks but me.